First text I'm going to want you to take a look at is John chapter 8. And while you're flipping there, I had another announcement brought to my attention. We want to make sure and mention it today. Todd Nielsen, who many of you know, a former member of the congregation, his dad is nearing the end of his life, and Todd doesn't think that he'll last the week. And so Todd is up here in this area and taking care and being there with his father, as you can expect, it's a difficult time there. So we want to make sure and keep him in our prayers as well, and that whole family. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus was dealing with the Jews and a particular audience that was not, didn't really like him, somewhat of a hostile audience. And they made the statement in verse 33, "We are Abraham's descendants and we've never been in bondage to anyone." And Jesus goes on to talk to them about how they are slaves to sin and how they're enslaved to it. And then he says in verse 37, he says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." And they answered and they said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father." And he'll go on later to point out that the father that they followed was the devil. When you talk about doing the works of your father, Jesus is pointing out a very basic understanding of a child-parent relationship, that children emulate their parents, right? You look at dad and he's out there mowing the lawn, and the kid gets the little bubble blower out and he's out mowing the lawn. And, you know, this is a typical portion of childhood, is that the children emulate those that they treat as parents. And he says, no, you say Abraham is your father. Yeah, it is true, you are his descendants. Genealogically, you can back up where you come from. But you have not treated him as the father of your heart. There is a difference between heritage and family. Biology does not make family. And he says of Abraham, he says, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. You would do things like Abraham did. And he points out this phrase, the works of Abraham. And that's a big phrase, because Jesus is calling the Jews to do something, and that phrase works is a very power-packed phrase. In fact, it's one of the most hotly debated words in all of the Bible, works. Because there are parts of the Bible that say you are not saved by works, and then there are parts of the Bible that say you are saved by works. There are entire religious movements based around the idea that if you have faith in God, your works do not matter. What you do does not matter. And so we have to understand, what does the word faith and the word works have to do with each other? Because they are used next to each other all the time throughout your Bible. And they're two words that go together. They're peanut butter and jelly words. They're meant to be used in context together, and yet it can be confusing, because there are some times where it says you are saved by faith and not by works. Romans chapter 4 in particular mentions that idea. And then there are times in your Bible where it says you are saved by faith and by works. Or you can see my faith by my works, which James points out. So they are both taught as interconnected. You cannot have faith without works. And then they are taught as separate things. There is faith and there is works. And we have to understand, what on earth are they talking about? Because as I said, this is one of the most hotly debated topics in all of the religious world. And it comes down to the core of who you are. Because of what you do does not matter. Why are you here? It's a beautiful day. You should not be in here in this 75 degree building. You should be out there. You should be enjoying yourself, not listening to some guy yell at you. But if what you do does matter, then you did the right thing by getting yourself up this morning. Even if you were tired, even if it was hard, and even if you saw that other people are not doing it. And so we have to understand, what does Jesus mean when he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham? One of the things we have to understand is that that word works is used in context with other words all the time. There are different types of works. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 6, their works are works of iniquity. That is, they are doing things that are bad. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Works of iniquity are when we do things that are wicked. We do things that are sinful. Another phrase that means the same thing is works of darkness. The Bible talks about those who live their lives in works of darkness. They do things that are dark things. They are evil things. They are wicked things. They are immoral things. They are in contradiction to God's truths on how one ought to live in this world. So that is one type of work. Another type of work is the works of law. In Galatians chapter 3, down in verse 10, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of law to do them." Now Galatians chapter 3 says, if a man does the works of the law, he's under a curse because he's never going to do them all. Because if I am out there living each day and I'm doing things so that I can prove myself to be a good enough law keeper, I'm living and I'm saying, I'm going to work so hard that I can prove I'm the best. I'm worthy of heaven. I don't make mistakes. I'm better than everybody else. I got it all right. I'm perfect. He says that guy's under a curse. Because if a man says he's going to work by the law, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of law to do them. If you break even one law, you're no longer that guy you're boasting to be. And so there is a work of law where a man says, I'm going to go out and show myself great. I'm going to go and prove to everybody I've got it figured out. I am a good man. I'm going to show you how good I am. And that's a work of law. Where a man may live a very moral life, it's not like works of iniquity where he's doing many things wrong and immoral. He may live a very godly life in terms of matching a lot of God's morals. He doesn't steal, he doesn't kill, he doesn't cheat on his taxes. He helps little old ladies walk across the street. But if his goal in life is, I'm going to do these good things and show everybody that I am a law-abiding citizen, you're going to have a problem, because somewhere along that movie reel of your life, they're going to be able to point back on the judgment day. You see, over here on February 16th, 1996, you did this. You are not a law-abiding citizen. You did not do perfect works. And so that's a type of work, the man who does things, the works of the law. And then in James chapter 2, down in verse 22, it says, do you see how faith worked with his, and the his there is Abraham, his works. And by works was faith made perfect. There is another type of work. There is the works of iniquity where you do evil things. There is the works of law where you do good things to prove that you are good. And you are flawless and you are good enough. And then there is a work of faith when we do things out of trust and submission to God. And those three works are all very, very different works. And your Bible uses all three of those phrases. And we have to be aware that they are not the same. So whenever your Bible talks about works, you have to ask, well, what kind of works are we talking about? Are we talking about works of iniquity? Are we talking about works of the law, works of perfection? Or are we talking about works of faith? Where somebody says, I know I'm not perfect. I know I have not done everything right. I'm not out here to prove I'm good enough, but I am out here to show and live each day so that I can show God I trust Him and submit to Him. Which brings us back to the sermon we preached last week on the obedience of faith and how if we're people of faith, there has to be submission to God. And that is seen most clearly when he asks us to do things we do not wish to do. And that is why the works of Abraham are such a clear example of that last type, the works of faith. You see, Abraham did do some works of iniquity. There's no doubt about it. There was a time when Abraham was out there and he lied about his wife to save his own hide. Let some other man take her into his house. That's an iniquity work. That's a bad decision, Abraham. And Abraham was not a man who did the works of the law, because he very clearly understood and often said that he was not a perfect man. He never was out to try and prove he was good enough. But on the other hand, Abraham was constantly showing us works of faith. He was constantly doing things out of a trust and submission to God. In James chapter 2, down in verse 24, it says, "You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith." This is a big phrase. It's big because it tells you that those works are necessary. What you do does matter. You see that by works a man is justified. That word justified means to make right. If you've got a Word document and you justify things, you're lining them all up together. You're making them right. He says, it is what you do that justifies you. By works a man is justified, and not only by faith. Not only by believing in your heart, but by then what you do based off of that belief. James will go on to say that the demons themselves, they believe, but they don't act that way. If you look at James chapter 2, go look down here in James chapter 2 with me. And we're going to look at some of the things that James says about working faith and how important it is. See, this is not some small thing. What you do is so central to your Christianity that if you cut it out, you are cutting Christianity out. In James chapter 2, you start up and down. Start up in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And then he gives an example. He's going to give many examples so that you understand how important is what you do. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now I want you to think about this for a second. You see Dan Williams out there, and poor Dan is wearing rags. He's out on the side of the road in just tattered rags, barely held together, freezing out there, shivering in a snowstorm, hungry. You can see his bones. And you drive up and you are in your nice, what car is it that Lowell's driving now? Whatever that thing is. Lexus fancy pants car. You drive up in that. And you roll down the window and here he is. You say, hi there, Brother Dan. Hi. Hi. I sure hope you get a good meal. I'll pray for you, brother, that you can get some clothes and a nice winter jacket, and then you drive off with the heater on. What would you think of such a person? That's the example that James gave. If you go to it, you would say that kind of a person is so despicable. They are worse than an infidel. They are so wicked, they have not a hint of compassion or mercy or care in their heart. Who cares that they said nice things? They didn't do anything nice. That's how important works are. He says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Some of your translations may say is useless. I don't like that translation, and I'll tell you why. The word there is nekros, and it is the word for dead. You know, there are things that are useless in life that aren't dead. Mosquitoes are useless, but they're not dead. Faith without works is dead. There's no pulse. There's nothing there. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. One guy says, I'll take the works. Other guy says, I'll take the faith. And he said, you show me which guy actually trusts God. I'll tell you, it's the guy who did something. That's the one. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. The demons believe in God. They say, yeah, I know there's a God. They have more confidence in the existence of God than you do. If you've ever had a single day in your life where you thought, I wonder whether there's a God. I mean, really, I've never seen. If you've ever had even just a glimmer, a little sliver of doubt in your mind over the existence of God, one day in your life, you have less belief than a demon. They don't doubt it at all. Not for a moment. But they tremble because they don't serve that God. They don't do anything for that God to follow Him. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? We're going to talk some more about that particular element. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And then it gives the example of Rahab as well. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let me sum up for you what James says about works and faith, how important it is. It's as necessary as food for a starving man. Works are as necessary to faith as your soul is to your body. Works are as necessary to faith as evidence is in a trial. If you're going to have a court case and say, prove to me, will you have faith? Your evidence is your works. It is what separates Christians from demons. You think about that? That's the only major difference. Christians believe, demons believe, demons tremble, you do not. What's the difference? It's what you do. It's what made Rahab a prostitute. A prostitute, a righteous woman, was what she did. She became a saved woman in the nation of Israel, by the nation of Israel, out of the destruction of Jericho because of what she did. And it's what made Abraham called the friend of God. Now, I read all of this and I spend a little bit of time on it so that you and I look at the text and we remember this is why this is a big deal. Because God says it is so integral to who we are that if we don't really grasp it and take it seriously, that what we do matters. Not just what you think, but what you do. Not just what you say, but how you live. These things matter. They are integral to everything. They can take a wicked person like Rahab living an immoral life and turn her into a godly example of faith. It can take somebody like Abraham and make him the father of the faithful. It's that big of a deal. It all comes down to what you do. It is by works that you're justified. Now let's go back to James chapter 2 and verse 21 and look at specifically Abraham and his works. Because there was a specific work, a specific thing that Abraham did. That's all the work is. It's just something you do. You know, we try and fancy up that word for religion and make works a big deal. It just means what you do. There was something specific that Abraham did that made him a man of faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now here is Abraham, and he's going to take his son, his beloved son Isaac, the son of his old age, and he's going to offer him up as a sacrifice. Why would he do that? Now the why is very important. Why people do things is very, very, very important. We've all had somebody do something nice for us, and then you find out, you're just trying to get me to do something for you. We've all had somebody come up and say, oh, you just look great today. Well, what do you want? Why you compliment somebody matters, right? why you do things, it matters. Why did Abraham do this? I mean, you just look up the story. Here's a man, and he's going to kill his son. Good thing or bad thing, right? I mean, if I just told you that, I know a man who was going to kill his son. He took him on a 3-day journey, had his son carry the firewood he was going to burn him on. Took him all the way, didn't tell him what he was going to do, tied him up on the top of a mountain, and pulled a knife out and was ready to kill his son. If I just told you that story, would you say good man or bad man? If you say good man with just what I told you there, you are a bad man. The only reason we look at this as a good thing is because we know why he did it. Why he did it. He did it for one reason. Because God told him to do it. God said, Abraham, I want you to go and take your son to this mountain. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. That's the only reason it makes it good. Because it was an act of obedience. Look in Hebrews chapter 11 where it talks about Abraham's sacrifice of his son Isaac, where he was ready to do it. God stayed his hand at the last minute. But Abraham had the knife all up and everything. Now James says he was justified by works when he did that, but look at what Hebrews 11 says. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham. Wait a second, I thought it was works. Yeah, it is. What kind of works? Works of faith. Not works of law, where he's trying to prove he was good enough. Certainly not works of iniquity. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And then look at what it says it was going through Abraham's mind. God had told Abraham, Isaac is your, he's the one your lineage is going to come through. I'm going to make him a great mighty nation. I'm going to use him to fulfill great and awesome promises. And then God said, I want you to take him up to this mountain. I want you to kill him. What was going through Abraham's mind? Hebrews 11 says, He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. When Abraham took his son up onto that mountain, what he was thinking is, if God tells me to kill him, but God has also promised me that he's going to use him to fulfill my lineage, only thing that Abraham could think would happen, he's just running it through his mind, just like you would do. Why would God ask me to do that? I can't understand. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But God can raise him from the dead. So if God told me to do it, I'll do it. So he trusted God. That's the only reason Abraham did what he did, is because of his trust in God. Abraham didn't do it to prove he was a great man. Abraham didn't do it because it was immoral. Abraham did it because God said it and he trusted God. Submitted to his will. He had faith in God's plan. And how do you know he actually had faith in God's plan? Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. How do you know that Abraham actually had faith in God? It's what he did. He took the walk. He carried the knife. He tied his son up. He raised the knife. It was only when the angel said, stop your hand, that Abraham stopped. You know Abraham was faithful to God because he was ready to do the unthinkable. The unimaginable because of his trust in him. That's what a work of faith is. And in Genesis chapter 22 down to verse 12, we're told something very, very powerful. You and I, we think about God and God knows the heart and God knows what I'm thinking and all of that is true. But in Genesis chapter 22 down to verse 12, we're told something about God's character and how he works in the life of men that you have to remember. Abraham had that knife up and the angel cried out and said, stop. And then he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wait a second, I thought God knows everything. Yeah. I thought God can tell the future. Yeah. I thought God could look into my heart and just know how I'm thinking. Yeah, he's called the heart knower too. But I cannot deny this verse, that there are things about the way God works that you just have to understand are bigger than us, and this is one of them. In the same way that I don't understand how Jesus can be 100% God and 100% man, but I believe that, so too I must believe that God did not know that Abraham feared Him to the level of faithfulness that you and I think about with Abraham until he raised that knife. What he did said and proved something to God. See, what you do, we have to remember, what you do, God is watching it. It's not like He just wrote the whole story and said, well, here, whatever you do, I already know what's in your heart, so really whatever you do doesn't matter. No, that's not what He said to Abraham. What He said to Abraham is, now I know. If you hadn't done that, what was the opposite? If Abraham hadn't lifted the knife, if he hadn't done it, he would have said, now I know you don't. When did God know Abraham's level of faith? Only after the knife. When did God offer Abraham the blessing? Only after the doing. When did God tell Abraham he had done enough? Only after he had fulfilled what God had told him to do. Only after the action was in motion. We cannot just say that God knows our hearts and what we do doesn't matter. We can't say it, because the text says otherwise. See, you can't say, I'm a Bible follower, and then say, well, God knows my heart. Whatever I do doesn't matter. No, your Bible doesn't say that. So you can either follow the Bible, or you can say, God knows my heart and what I do doesn't matter, but you can't do both, because your Bible says what you do does matter. Your works of faith, they do matter. Just saying you trust God is not the same as acting upon that, and there are times in our life where God asks us to do things that are hard and cost us, and they're sacrifices, and they're difficult, and they go against all logic. But God says it, and we must choose to do it. Works of law are when we do things to try and prove we're good enough. Good enough law keepers. Good enough to earn my way to heaven. Good enough of when I can boast my way there. And your Bible speaks against those. If a man gets up in the morning, looks at himself in the mirror and says, now there's a good-looking guy. I've got it figured out. I've proven, and I'm going to prove that I'm good enough. Well, that kind of man, he's not going to be justified before God. Romans 4 says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, now I put of law, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You see, Abraham doesn't have anything to boast about with works of faith, does he? Because works of faith are all about, I trust you, God. I submit to you. You're great and I'm small. There's no boasting in that. But when it says Abraham was not justified by works, otherwise he'd have something to boast about, they're talking about the works of law there. And you and I have to differentiate. Every time you see the Bible saying the word works, you have to ask yourself, what kind of works am I looking at? And if you're thinking to yourself, Scott, that's hard work, you bet it is. That's why we're Bible students, not just Bible holders. You're expected to read through that thing. We've got to work at it. On the other hand, works of faith are when we do things out of trust and submission to God. There's no boasting there. It's a weak man turning to the greatest deity and saying, you're the Alpha, you're the Omega. Whatever you say goes. And that's why Romans chapter 4 can say Abraham wasn't justified by works. And then James 2 can say, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Works of faith, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar. You see, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. So you combine James chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11, and you find out that the works that saved Abraham are a particular type of work. The work of a faithful man who submitted all of his life to God. Now, I'm saying a lot of the same thing over and over again. There's reason for that. Because this is an argument that you will hear. It's an argument that you'll deal with. It's so pervasive in the religious world, it goes everywhere. It's the very reason that people don't want to be baptized. So very many people do not want to be baptized because what they say is, no, that's a work. And if I am baptized, I'm boasting and saying, see, I've done a work. But as so many of you who have been baptized out here know, when you go into that water, it's not like you go into the water and say, boy, when I come out, I'm going to show everybody, I am something special. I have earned my way to heaven by getting wet. That's not how that works. That's not what's going on in your mind. That's not how you think. The thought is, God said, do it. In fact, all logic says that won't do anything at all. I've taken baths. But God says, do it. And do it by the authority of my Son. And I will remit your sins. And so we say, okay, show me the water. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. Look, there's water. What's preventing me? We do it out of faith. And so is there a work? Yeah, you bet. And just like Abraham, when God says, now I know that you fear you, what does God say when you come out of the water of baptism? When you come out of that water, God says, now I know that you have faith in my Son. Now I know and have remitted your sins. You're a new person. Because you've not just believed it in your heart, but you've shown it in your acts. You've shown it in how you live. John chapter 8. Go back to that verse we started with. They answered and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus told them, no, Abraham, you are descendants of Abraham, but he's not your father. If you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. You would be people who do things out of trust and submission to God. And do you know your Bible? Your Bible says that Abraham is the father of the faithful, which means even though you and I are not descendants of Abraham, I doubt there's anyone here who could trace their lineage back to Abraham. He is your father. Because he is the forerunner of you and he went before you. And you act the same way. Just like he was a man of faith, when we live our lives based off of trust and submission to God, when we do things, then we act like his children. We act like him. Though there is no lineage connection, though there's no genealogical connection, there's a connection of character, a connection of family, which, by the way, is the only thing that ties any of us together whatsoever in the first place. We are tied to the head, Jesus, because not lineage, but adoption as sons. And so as we look at that idea of works and its involvement in your faith, it's just so integral. It's just down to the very heart of the thing. Will you do what God tells you to do? Number 655, the walls came tumbling down. If you've not obeyed the gospel and you're ready to do it, you're ready to become a Christian, you've heard, you believed, you've repented. Repent means change your mind. You've changed the mind part. But now it's time to confess Him as Lord and Savior, and it's time to be baptized, to do something by going to that water. Don't wait. Don't wait. I've made the mistake in past of telling people to wait when they were ready. And so I'm trying to be the kind of person who doesn't do that anymore. Don't wait. And if you are somebody who is a Christian who needs to turn back to the Lord, we give this opportunity to you too as we stand and sing number 655.